Amen. Good to see everybody in church tonight. Y'all, are y'all glad you saved? It's okay if I move that out of here. Y'all say amen on this one, and I'll preach on this one right here. How about that? Amen. Good to see all these young people in the house tonight. I need some teenagers that are glad you're saved to shout amen. Let's try that again. I need some teenagers who are glad you're saved to shout amen. That's a little bit better. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Hey, when mom and daddy tells you to be quiet in church, they mean not to be talking to each other. They don't mean not to say amen. Amen. Hey, you need to learn to shout early. Hallelujah. And it is an honor to be here, Brother Terry. Thank you so much for having us. I'm glad to have my wife Angie with me. And I'm pickled to death to be preaching in a log church. This is cool, man. I done sent pictures back home. Look where I'm preaching. This is an honor for me, amen? And it is an honor for us to be here. And appreciate all the young people being in the house tonight. There's a thousand different places you could be. And we are thrilled that you are in the house of God tonight. And for those of you who are graduating, where are our graduates graduating tomorrow night? And there's one, two. Congratulations, guys. That's a big accomplishment. Somebody, I had a pastor ask me, it wasn't very long ago. I've been, Brother Terry told me he had been here for 30 years. I've been at my church for 33 years. And the bulk of my ministry has been dealing with young people and teenagers and preaching youth meetings. I can't believe I'm 61 still getting to preach youth meetings. Thank you, brother. But anyway, I'm going to pretend I'm your age. Amen. Somebody said you're as old as you act, so I'm going to act like a kid tonight. But a preacher asked me, he said, Pastor, over the years, where, at what place and time in the life of a teenager do you lose them? Graduation. Hands down, graduation. They get out from under mom and daddy and get a little bit of liberty. Hey, look, God's allowed you to make it through 12 years of school. Some of you probably 14 or 15, but you've been in school all these years. Don't blow it now. Amen. Stay with the Lord. Just stay with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Again, it's an honor to be here. Turn to Colossians chapter number 2 tonight. Colossians chapter number 2, we'll get right to the preaching. I've never been here before, never met the majority of you. I only met, I think, one person in this room. But anyway, some of y'all sitting there right now looking at me like, can he preach? And I'm looking right back at you like, can you take it? Amen. Amen. I told Brother Dilbert we didn't come to be petted on or pampered, or we just come to have church. Amen. And by the way, thank you for the little cabin y'all put us in, the little Airbnb. That thing is nice, man. That's awesome. But I appreciate everything, the basket in the room. It was a blessing. But Colossians chapter number 2, if you're there, say amen. 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 Colossians chapter number 2. We look at one verse of Scripture tonight, and then I'm going to give you a whole bunch more, but we're going to start with Colossians chapter number 2, and I want you to look with me at verse number 8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8, where the Bible said, beware. What's that word beware mean? Y'all talk to me a little bit. Pay attention. A danger ahead. Amen. You ever been out on visitation, knocking on doors, and you see a sign on the door, beware of dogs? That's when I reach in my pocket and pull out a track and stick it on the door. Amen. I hate barking dogs. I'm more scared of them little yapping ones than I am the great big ones. Amen. But my heart fails every time I knock on the door and you hear, so this ain't going to be good. That old deep bark. Amen. Beware. Beware. Something that you are to beware of is something that you ought to be afraid of. Amen. God put something inside of us, and that thing is called fear. I know God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. Thank God for that. But there's certain things. Rattlesnakes you ought to be afraid of. Amen. Somebody say amen. I'm afraid of green snakes. I used to catch copperheads when I was a kid, put them in my tackle box and take them home. Amen. And now they give me a heart attack if I just see one anywhere. But there's things you ought to be scared of. Amen. There's things that ought to make you turn and go the other way. He said, beware lest any man, say the next word with me, spoil you. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Tonight, just for a few minutes, I want to preach on this thought. Beware lest any man spoil you. At my age, when you think about the word spoil, I automatically think about my grandchildren. I got 7 of them, and they are spoiled rotten. And I'm the cause. Amen. Amen. I need some grandparents to nod your head and do something. Amen. But that's not what the word's talking about here. I looked this word up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. The word spoil means to plunder, to strip by violence, to rob of his goods or possessions. Can I read that one more time? The definition of the word spoil is to plunder, to strip by violence, or to rob of his goods or possessions. Can I just say to you tonight that we are under a violent attack? I'll say it again. I mean, on every hand, by the world outside, by the media, by our government, we are being attacked on every hand. Hey, do you understand, to be a Bible-believing Christian in this world today, we are the weirdos. Amen. Preacher was talking early. He said, everybody you talk to says they're saved. Listen, if you really believe the Word of God is the Word of God, and you stand up for Jesus, you're a freak. Amen. According to this world, you're a weirdo. Hey, count me in. Amen. Hey, I'd rather be weird for Jesus than be lost and on the way to a devil's hell. Amen. Call me weird. Call me crazy. Hey, but thank God you can call me saved. Somebody, hallelujah. I might get happy before we get out of here tonight. Amen. To spoil. We are so bombarded on every hand by this world's ideology, by its belief system. And if we're not careful, seniors, listen to me. If you're not careful, they will spoil. You'll go off to some college, and they'll tell you that your preacher's just not educated, that he just doesn't really know what he's talking about. Are you listening? And they'll spoil you of what you have already settled in your heart as a young man or a young lady. Amen. Beware lest any man spoil you. You got to understand, y'all got something we didn't have growing up. Y'all got YouTube. Y'all got all the social media. Did you know there are over 115 million YouTube channels? Over 115 million YouTube channels. There are over 2 billion TikTok accounts. 2 billion TikTok accounts. What I'm trying to tell you is everywhere you turn, there's somebody trying to influence you. I'm going to say it again. Everywhere you turn, there is somebody who is trying to influence you. There are people today, preacher, their job title is influencer. Amen. I was a plumber by trade. Now I'm a pastor. That's my job title. Amen. But there's people, their job title, and they're making millions of dollars convincing you that what they say is right. Now, I just want to tell you, if it don't line up with this old King James Bible, it ain't right. Let me tell you, the greatest influencer in your life, outside your mom and dad, stand up, brother. Brother Terry, this man right here, that is a great influencer right here. Amen. Hey, I got a good question for you tonight. Who's influencing you? Amen. Is it the latest, greatest pop band or rock group or country singer? Who is it? Who's influencing your life? Amen. Who is encouraging you? Who is causing you to dream? Amen. Amen. Who's influencing you tonight? beware lest any man spoil you. I'll say it again, we are so bombarded by this world and its ideology. If we're not careful, our minds can become corrupt. Our minds, I preached to our teenagers last night. I had one of the men preach to the adults, and I went out with the teens, and I preached to the teenagers over the battle of the mind. Over the battle of the mind. If you'd have asked me when I was 14 years old, what does the word depression mean? I would have said, I ain't got a clue. And now in our church, just in our church, in our youth group, are we live streaming?
Come on,
preacher. Oh, well, it'll be all right. In our church, we have dealt with more young people that are dealing with anxiety, depression, thoughts of suicide. I mean, and it goes on and on. Man, I did my best to preach to them last night, and 7 or 8 of them kids just broke, weeping and sobbing. When I left the church, there were still kids there being counseled over the attack on their minds. You got to be careful. We're so bombarded that our minds can become corrupt or spoiled. Corrupt or spoiled. I want to read that definition one more time. To plunder, to strip by violence, or to rob of one's goods or possessions. Don't you ever dare let the devil take away from you what God has given to you. Hey, if you're saved, he can't take your salvation. But bless God, he can get you out of the will of God, get you as far.
Come on.
Little old boy grew up in our neighborhood, went to the Baptist church right up the street from my house. I've known his daddy my whole life. This kid surrendered to preach. Brother Terry was preaching, preaching up a storm. Got a full ride scholarship to go to the University of Georgia. Go Dogs. Somebody say go Dogs. Amen. Got a full ride scholarship to go to UGA. Hey, he graduated from UGA, and now he don't even believe there's a God in heaven. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about a preacher boy. I'm not talking about some dope head out there vaping marijuana. I'm talking about a kid that was on fire for God. Hey, you know what he did? He got down there under a bunch of higher education, and they told him that his preacher was an idiot, that he was backwater and podunk and all that good stuff, and now he don't even believe there's a God. Are you listening to me? What happened? Somebody spoiled him. Somebody ripped, robbed, stripped him of everything that was good in his life. You understand that's what the devil wants to do to you? Amen. That's what the devil... Hey, not just young people, adults, you can nod your head to. Because he's after you just like... He's after your homes, he's after your marriages. Amen. Well, I didn't realize all this was in here tonight. When our thinking becomes spoiled, so will our view of things. When our thinking becomes spoiled, so will our view of things. Preacher, have you ever preached a message and had a parent come to you after the service and say, "Well, Brother Terry, I just don't see anything wrong with it." Have you ever seen that? I've had it 1,000 times over. Cross their arms. "Well, preacher, I just don't see anything wrong with what you was preaching about. I don't see anything wrong with what our kids are doing. I don't see anything wrong with my 15-year-old daughter getting in the car with a boy on Friday night by herself. Don't die on me now." Amen. You know what the problem is? I don't see. I said, "Won't you just back up and think about the first 3 words you just said to me? I don't see." Amen. Our view of things can become corrupt. I remember when I was a kid, and this will tell my age a little bit, I remember that show that came on TV, Three's Company. Anybody remember Three's Company? Two beautiful girls living with one guy, and that guy was as a football bat. Are y'all okay? Let me put it in today's vernacular. He was living an alternate lifestyle. And it was hilarious. It was hilarious. It made us laugh at it. And if you can laugh at something, it ain't long till you're accepting something. I hope we're all right tonight. Amen. I'm old school. I think boys go in the boys' bathroom. Girls go in the girls' bathroom. Amen. Amen. I've told my church 100 times, I see a man in a girl's bathroom, he's going to need the ER room. Amen. When our thinking is spoiled, it will affect our view of things. Amen. And what we think will affect what we see. What we think will affect what we see. I remember a little nursery rhyme when I was growing up. It was about a cat. It said, kitty cat, where have you been? Anybody ever heard that? Kitty cat, where have you been? She said, I've been to London to see the Queen. She said, kitty cat, what did you see there? She said, I spied a mouse run under her chair. There's this stupid cat. All cats are stupid. Amen. No, I'm kidding. I love cats. I love cats. You put enough barbecue sauce on them, they're pretty good. Amen. Amen. Anyway, here she is in Buckingham Palace, the crown jewels, the Queen of England. What'd she see? A rat. You know what she saw? She saw what she's looking for. She saw what she's looking for. You know what you're going to get out of this service tonight? What you came for. Amen. I don't know about you. I didn't come to get out. I come to get in. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'll preach too long. I always do. Amen. Guilty. Somebody said, preacher, you're long-winded. Yep, I am. Amen. Amen. I ain't going to make no apologies about it. Hey, what you see or what you think affects what you see. Amen. You look at the world and the world says, hey, man, we're cool. They ain't cool. They ain't cool. Are y'all all right? They ain't cool. I'll tell you what's cool. Living for God. Amen. There ain't no better life in all the world. Amen. Lay your head down on your pillow at night with no regrets. Nothing to hide. Amen. Well, what we think will affect what we see. I'm going to give you four things tonight. How about that? Number one. If you're taking notes tonight, what you think will affect what you see. It will affect your view of things. And I want you to take good notes tonight. Number one, our view of the Savior. Our view of the Savior. We got to get this right. You got to get that one right about who Jesus is. Amen. Had a Muslim one day wanting to whoop me at Home Depot. Y'all know what whoop means, right? Amen. I can preach like I'm home. Hallelujah. Yeah, whoop. He's going to whoop me at Home Depot over the name of Jesus. I'm standing in the doorway of Home Depot witnessing to a fellow who used to come to our church. He works at Home Depot. Hadn't seen him in forever. And I'm standing there just kind of wearing him out, actually. I'm saying, man, why ain't you been in church? Blah, blah, blah. And I said something about Jesus right as this Muslim guy was walking by. He turned around. They was fire, Brother Jack, coming out of his eyes. And he ran his finger up in my face and he said he was just a man. He was just a man. This world's got an odd view of who Jesus is. Amen. Amen. The Mormons come to my door. Knocked on my door. I said, hey, I'm the pastor of the Happy Valley Baptist Church right up the road. Oh, we believe the same thing you believe. I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. Amen. They said, we believe in Jesus. I said, yeah, you do. You think he's the devil's brother. Amen. I knew as much about what they were selling as they did. Amen. They got a whacked out view of who. You got to get that right. John chapter number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Hey, listen to me. And the Word was God. Hey, the Savior I'm serving tonight, he is God Almighty. He is supreme. Amen. He is the King of kings and the Lord. You got to get it right. Who Jesus is. Who is he to you? Who is Jesus to you? Amen. If somebody were to ask me, who is Angie to me? Amen. Not that one, that one. Who is Angie to me? Man, I just have to make a long list of, she's my best friend. Amen. She's my best friend. She's my lover. It's my sweetheart. We still date. Amen. Been married 42 years. We still, all our kids done grown up and moved out. We date every night. Amen. Amen. I still open the door for her when I want something, when I want a kiss. Or, amen. When I want something new from a boat or whatever, I open the door. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, what is Jesus to you? Amen. First of all, I'd like to say he's my Savior. I'm going to say that again. He's my Savior. As a 19-year-old boy, I left a New Year's Eve party, me and her together. Just married. We was playing bluegrass music. Ain't nobody talked about Jesus. Ain't nobody sung about Jesus. I got under conviction. I started crying. She said, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "I'm going to hell." We left that party. It was at her mama's house. It wasn't a bad party. I mean, it wasn't bad at all. I was probably doing some things I ought not have been doing. Been in church all my life. Never had trusted Christ as my Savior. We left there, went by my mama's house, got her, went to the preacher's house that picked me up on a church bus when I was 4 years old, knocked on his door in the middle of the night. He come to the door, preacher, in a pair of boxer underwear and a wife beater t-shirt. I ain't lying. He always called me Doc. He come to the door wiping boogers out of his eyes, and he said, "What's the matter, Doc?" And I'm standing there bawling. I said, "Brother Jay, I'm going to hell." He said, "Not tonight, you ain't." He said, "If you'll let me get some britches on, son." Hey, man. And we bowed down under an old Georgia loblolly pine in the preacher's front yard, and I got born again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You better know who Jesus is. And by the time, I always made fun of people. I grew up in a shouting church. I'm talking about shouting church. I laugh at them. You ever heard the story about them old time women shout their hair down? Girls, y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but in the old days, women wore their hair up. Looked like a hornet's nest on top of their head. Amen. They just twirl it around and put 4 gallons of hairspray on it. Anybody remember what I'm talking about? And they get to shouting, that hair get to bouncing, boy. Hey, man, it was Bablacostal was what it was. And I'd make fun of them. I'd just sit there and laugh, and I thought, there ain't no way I'd ever do that. Woo! Son, I bowed down under that pine tree. Something moved out, and something else moved in. And the next thing I knew, both my hands was in the air. Woo! I got saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. You better get it settled. Your view of Him. Hey, we don't need Hollywood Jesus. We don't need this long-haired hippie pacifist Jesus. That ain't who we serving. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ was very much a man. One mediator between God and man. The man Christ. Amen. He has a gender. Amen. We got to get this right. We don't need Hollywood Jesus. We need heavenly Jesus. We need holy Jesus. We need righteous Jesus. Amen. That's my Savior. Who is He to you tonight? Is He just a Bible story? Is He a holiday? Hey, we got people about 3 times a year think He's just a holiday. Amen. They'll show up for the Christmas play, and they won't show up for nothing else. Amen. Easter. To some, He's an excuse to buy a new outfit. Go to church and get your picture made. He's more than that. He ain't just my Savior on Easter. He ain't just my Savior on Christmas. He's my Savior every day. Every day that I live, every night that I lay my head. Hey, He is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You got to get it settled about who He is. You know what I found out over the years? Closer I get to Him, better He looks. The world's right the opposite. I'm going to say it again. The world's right the opposite. It looks good at a distance. When I was a teenager, how many of you know what Six Flags is? The big amusement park outside of Atlanta. That's where I worked when I was a teenager. Me and a buddy of mine, well, it's 3 of us actually, we went and had fake IDs made. One of my buddies' mama forged a birth certificate for us. You had to be 16 to work there, but we went to work when we was 15. Amen. And there was a rock and roll personality back then who made my heart thump. I mean, she had me Twitter pated. I had it bad for Joan Jett. Anybody remember Joan Jett? She sang that song, "I Love Rock and Roll." Put another dime in the jukebox, baby. Woo! Somebody come to me. They started having concerts in the park. I got to feed some pretty cool people. I fed the Beach Boys. I fed Charlie Daniels, Mother's Finest. Anyway, I ain't bragging on that. But anyway, Charlie Daniels invited me to get on his bus. Amen. I sure did. He bummed a dip of snuff off of me. I shouldn't tell that, but he did. Anyway, I found out. I came into work one day. I worked in a restaurant. And I came into work, and taped to the wall in the kitchen was a flyer about the next concert. Guess who it was? It was Joan Jett. Woo, sunshine. I got nervous thinking about it. I thought, I am going to feed Joan Jett. She's going to take one look at me and fall head over heels in love. I know she is. I practiced. I stood in the bathroom, looked in the mirror, practicing what I was going to say to her. I mean, I done planned on getting Conway Twitty on her. When she walked up, I was going to say, hello, darling. Amen. I mean, I had it all planned out. Man, we're standing there. My buddy Roger, he's standing beside me. He's dipping out coleslaw. I got chicken breast. I got some tongs, and here comes the band. I give the drummer a chicken breast and the bass player a chicken breast, and I look back in the line, and I saw her coming. Done rehearsed day after day after day what I'm going to say when I meet Joan Jett. You know what I said? Not a stinking thing. She walked up and I couldn't get a word out. But she got right face to face with me and held out her plate, and I looked her in the face and it was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. She looked like a mile of dirt road. She had more zit cavities on her face. And her, I'm talking about anorexic. I mean, she was ugly. She ain't none of y'all's family, is she? I'm telling you, she may look wonderful now. Back in, she wasn't. What I'm telling you, at a distance, up on that stage, she was so fine. But up close, not so much. Jesus is right the opposite. The closer you get to Him, the more beautiful He is. Amen. The closer you get to Him, the more you love Him, the more you want to be with Him. Hey, don't let the world spoil your view of who the Savior is. Are we all right tonight? Who is Jesus to you? Is He somebody you call on just when you're in trouble? He wants to be more than that. Bible said there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. Those nights that you feel all alone and like nobody cares, and you're dealing with anxiety and you're dealing with depression, Jesus is there for you. When your mom and dad is fighting and they're in a divorce court and you feel like all Hades is breaking loose in your life, Jesus is there for you. Amen. Don't let this world spoil your view of the Savior. I know where I'm at, so I'm probably just going to bump this one. But number two, don't let the world spoil you in your view of the Scripture. In your view of the Scripture. Hey, how many of you got a Bible? Hold it tonight. Hold it up. Hold it up. I want you to do something with me. Say, this is the Word of God. Say it loud. This is the Word of God. Amen. You know, when I learned that, I was a little boy about that high. I lived on my grandmother. My daddy left when I was 4. He was a country music musician. He's in the Country Music Hall of Fame. But anyway, daddy run off and married another woman while he's still married to my mama. And my grandfather had a little single wide trailer on his farm. He moved us in there. I lived at my grandmother's, actually my great-grandmother. I lived at their house. They got off the school bus there every day. I come in from school one day, I either had a Western Horseman magazine or a Bassmaster magazine, one of the two. That's my two great loves growing up, horses and fishing, amen. I walked in the house from school, I don't know how old I was, maybe third grade somewhere, and I had that magazine in my hand. And in Granny's house, she had a hutch in the dining room. And on that hutch laid her little old red, it was a red Bible. I can see it just as plain as day. I walked in the house, Granny's in the kitchen. First thing I'd do, I'd get off that school bus, come running in the house. I needed a snack. She'd fix me peanut butter and saltine crackers every day, amen, and a glass of milk. She's in the kitchen. I walked through there, and I just laid that magazine on top of that Bible. Ooh. Y'all know what a conniption is? My granny commenced to having a conniption right there. I mean, put her little hands on her face. Oh, baby, baby, she said. I thought, oh, what in the world? Don't ever do that again. I thought I said a bad word. I didn't know she came in there and she grabbed that magazine off that Bible and throwed it in the floor. She said, nothing goes on top of that book. She said, that book goes on top of everything else. She pulled her little old apron up and sat down in the kitchen chair. She said, come here, baby, sit on Granny's knee. I sat on Granny's knee. She said, I want you to hold that book. And I held that book in my hand. She said, baby, that's the Word of God. I said, yes, ma'am, Granny. She said, say it. I said, that's the Word of God. She said, say it again. She said, that's a little bit ridiculous. You think so? It's the only living book in this world. It's the only book that'll give you something new every time. That history book's going to be the same every time you read it. That science book never changes. That math book never changes. Hey, but this book is fresh every single. Hallelujah. Somebody will. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for a granny who believed it. Amen. Thank God. Hey, our view of the Scripture must not get tainted, must not get spoiled. I don't care where you go to school. I don't care how many teachers you have with degrees a mile long. I don't care how many initials they got after their name. Don't you ever let nobody tell you that that is not the inspired, inerrant, perfect Word of God. Don't you ever let nobody tell you that. Amen. It's the Word of God. Amen. I could give you 100 scriptures tonight. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? There's a bunch of preachers in our area that don't believe it no more. They used to. They used to wave it. They'd sing Hold the Fort and wave the answer back to heaven. Now they don't even know the answer. They believed it because it was popular in the 70s. I'm going to say it again. They believed it because it was popular in the 70s. They believed it because it got an amen. I believe it because I believe it. Several years ago, we had a hot shot lawyer move to our town. I mean, he's a big time lawyer. And he came and joined our church. Of all churches, he joined our church. Invited us over for supper one night. He had an ulterior motive. We had a good supper, and me and him, he said, I want you to come sit back down in the dining room with me for a minute. I thought, hallelujah, he's fixing to donate a wad of money. That's the way my mind thinks, amen. I said, I'm fixing to get one of them Jack Hyles stories right here. This guy's fixing to give me a blank check. I know he is. I sat down, I said, how can I help you? He said, I want to straighten you out on that Bible. What do you mean straighten me out? He said, you give me 20 minutes, I'll convince you that that Bible's full of errors. I said, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. I said, you can talk to you black in the face. You're not going to change my mind. He said, you're not going to change mine. I said, you want to bet? I said, you hang around long enough. Amen. This world will spoil your view, not only of the Savior, but of the Scripture. Amen. Where would you be without the Word of God? I know where I'd be. I'd probably be in hell where I'd be. Amen. Thank God for the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. Thanks be unto God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, where would you be without your Bible? Amen. They'll cause you to spend a fortune on textbooks when you go to college. Most important textbook you can take is this one right here. Amen. Don't let this world spoil your view of the Savior or your view of the Scripture. Can I give you a third one? Don't let this world spoil your view of sin. I'm going to say it again. Don't let this world spoil your view of sin. Amen. Some of the big shottest, that ain't even the word, is it? Some of the most big-time preachers in America won't even use that word. Joel Osteen said it on television right out of his mouth in an interview with Larry King. Larry, we don't use that word. Well, it got quiet in here. I'm talking about sin. Nothing is sin anymore. Everything is accepted. Everything's okay. You just be whatever you want to be. That ain't the Bible. Are we okay tonight? Can we preach on sin just for a minute? Man, guys, listen to me. When I was growing up, I can't think of much that wasn't a sin. Everything was a sin. We couldn't watch TV. I ain't lying. I remember a preacher coming to our church, putting a TV on the platform and bashing it with a sledgehammer. And I remember, all I could think, I'm sitting in the pew about 10 or 11 years old, I thought, I hope that wasn't a color TV. All we had was a black and white, amen? Oh, yeah, everything was a sin. Nothing's sin ever anymore. Everything's accepted, even in church. All right. Sin will wreck your life. The wages of sin is death. Sin is still sin. And we need to, my little granny I was telling you about, she had a word she used, wicked. Something would come on TV, that's wicked. That's wicked. That's wicked. Everything was wicked except hee-haw. She loved hee-haw. Amen. Amen. Everything was wicked. Yeah. James chapter 4 and verse number 17, the Bible said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You say, what is sin? Transgressing God's law. Amen. That's what sin is. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Amen. I'm talking about sin. Amen. When's the last time you got convicted? I'm going to ask you again. When's the last time you got convicted? I remember growing up, people coming to the altar during revival and weeping over their sin. When's the last time you got convicted over your own sin? Every time I preach something like this, I get under conviction. I preach myself. You ever do that? I preach myself. I need to be the first one in the altar. Amen. The Bible said that sin might appear exceeding sinful. Amen. This world will taint or spoil your view of sin. When I was a little boy, I told you, I got off the school bus at my granny's house every day. Now, I went to school when America was America. I went to school when a boy could carry a pocket knife to school. Amen. We played root to peg on the playground. I know y'all ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. We didn't have video games. We had something when I was a kid y'all don't have. We called it outside. Amen. We didn't sit in the house drinking Red Bull and playing stupid video. Hey, gay man. But we carried pocket knives. And you know what we did? We traded. All the time. Me and them, my buddies, man, we'd go to recess and we'd be out there on the playground playing with our pocket knives and throwing them in the ground, playing root to peg. And hey, I'll swap you this knife for that knife. We traded knives all the time. I had and some of y'all old timers might remember this. There was a pocket knife called a Barlow. A Barlow pocket knife. Cheapest pocket knife money could buy. You could buy them all day for $1.50. Cheap. I had one in my pocket. And I had used it for a screwdriver on my bicycle and broke a tip out of it. We sitting at the lunchroom table and my buddy sitting next to me. He said, I want to show you something. I said, okay. He reached in his little old book satchel and pulled out a deck of bicycle playing cards. He got them things and started shuffling. He did that. Started fanning them things out. He said, pick a card, any card. I said, all right. I picked a card. He said, don't let me see it. Don't let me see it. Pick that card. I picked that card. He said, look at it and remember what it was. I said, okay, I got it. He said, now put it back. I put it back in that deck. He shuffled them things again. I was in awe. He reached down on that deck and pulled up that top card. He said, was this your card? And I was like, yeah. I said, you need a pocket knife? I'll trade you a brand new Barlow pocket knife for that deck of cards. And I did. praying he wouldn't open it and find out that tip was broke out of it. I couldn't wait to get home. I got off the bus. He taught me that magic trick. I can't remember how to do it now, but I ran in the door, man. I could hear that screen door slam behind me right now. Granny, Granny. Granny's where she always was, and the kid said, "What is it, baby?" I said, "Come here. Sit down right here. I got to show you something." Granny sat down at the kitchen table, the dining room table. I dug around in my little book bag, and I pulled them cards out of there, and I done that on the table. Another conniption. Oh, baby, baby, that's wicked. I ain't lying to you. She said, "Those are a tool of the devil." I'm telling you, sin used to be sin. She took me in the living room. We had a coal-burning fireplace. And there was a fire burning in the fireplace in the living room. She come in there, same thing, sat on Granny's knee. That's where I went to school. I sat down on Granny's knee. She said, "Now, baby, you watch this." She said, "I want you to watch the demons go up the chimney." She started flicking them cards into that fire. She said, "Are you watching?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." All of a sudden, them flames turned green and violet, blue and purple and yellow. And I was like, she said, "You see them?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And they were just going up the chimney. She said, "There they go. They're going to hell where they belong," she said. I didn't know it was the ink and the cards. I was convinced it was demons in them cards. You say, "That's ridiculous." I ain't never had a gambling problem. Amen. Amen. I go out at recess, them boys pitching quarters against the wall. I say, ain't no. Nope. I wouldn't even play gin rummy. Go fish, nope, I ain't doing it. I scared to death of them things. Why? Because somebody loved me enough to tell me. Listen, the preacher, ain't that a little bit ridiculous? Maybe not. It instilled something in my heart. I'm a 61-year-old man. I remember that like it was yesterday. Sin. Don't let nobody tell you, "Oh, come on, man, dude, it's all right. It's all right. It's just a little weed. It's all right. It's all right." Girls, don't let no boy tell you, "If you really love me, jack his jaws and call your dad." Amen. Come on, bro. Just come on, bro. If one more kid in my church calls me bro, I'm going to bust him in his mouth. Amen. You'll call me brother? That's all right. Don't you bro me. Can't even complete a word, bro. Amen. Come on, bro. Just one time, man. It ain't going to hurt none. Come on. Come on, man. You better run from sin. It'll scar you and it'll wreck you and it'll mess up your life. Are you listening to me? Beware lest any man spoil you. A lot of pastors, a lot of churches, things they used to preach against, now they do. I see how easy it is to be influenced by the world. Amen. I'd rather have a small church and preach the truth than have thousands. Beware lest any man spoil. We're living in a spoiled society. Amen. I don't want to make nobody mad tonight, but over the last few years, we've had several homosexuals come to our church. You say, "What do you do, preacher?" I love them. And I preach to them just like I'm preaching to you tonight. Amen. I tell my church, "Look, you can come to church any way in the world. Amen. God will accept you as you are, but he won't leave you like you were." Amen. Beware lest any man spoil you. when it comes to our view of the Savior, our view of the Scripture, our view of sin. I wonder how many of you, be honest, got some sin in your heart right now. What if we could read all your texts and all your posts? See everything you've been looking at. Listen to everything you've been listening to. Amen. I tell you what would be good on Thursday night, a youth rally. Just go ahead and get right with God. Just go ahead. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Amen. One of my favorite songs was that song where it says, He picked me up, wiped off my sin, and put me on my feet again. He loves me like I was His only child. I believe that's the name. I love that little line. He picked me up and wiped off my sin. Can I ask you a question before I move on? I'm almost done. How many of you have ever confessed the same sin more than once? I'm talking about the same identical sin more than once. Twice? You want me to keep going? There's some sin I've never confessed. I've never had to say, Lord, I'm sorry I kissed a guy. I ain't never done that. Amen. There's some things I've never had to confess. But there are certain areas in my life I've had to say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Have you ever been to the point where God has forgiven you for that same thing so many times that you just bow your head and you don't even know what to say? God, you know. Isn't He gracious? Isn't it wonderful to forgive you over and over and over and over? If we sin, we got an advocate. We got a go-between. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. You say, preacher, how many times should I confess the same sin? Till you get over it. Till you get victory over it. Amen. There ain't a one of us don't deal with sin. Amen. The older you get, the temptation changes. Amen. Mine's stuff. Can I get a witness?
Come on,
amen. Hey. Brand new bass boats? Oh, man. Oh, if she wasn't here, I'd tell you some stuff. Amen. Don't let this world spoil you when it comes to your view of the Savior. I'll just tell you, He's wonderful. Ain't nobody like Him. Ain't nobody will ever love you like He'll love you. Ain't nobody will ever care about you like He cares about you. Ain't nobody will ever help you like He'll help you. Don't let this world spoil your view of the Savior or of the Scripture or of sin. And I'll close with this. Don't let the world spoil you in your view of salvation. There's still only one way. I'm going to say it again. There is still only one way. There is still only one way. Hey, maybe somebody here needs to get that settled tonight. Are you saved? Are you going to heaven when you die? Hey, you need to get that settled. Amen. I mentioned him a while ago, old Joel Osteen. He might be your favorite preacher. And I didn't come to bash him tonight, but I'd come tell you the truth. Amen. Larry King asked him on national television. Said, Mr. Osteen, is it true that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Here's what the pastor of one of the largest churches in the world said. Well, Larry, I just don't know. I'm sitting on the couch like, I know. Are y'all all right? Amen. Jesus is still the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by lay your head down on your pillow tonight. If you died before you wake up in the morning, do you know where you'd spend eternity? It's pretty important. I say it's more important than graduating tomorrow. I say it's more important than where you'll go to college. I say it's more important than who you date. Amen. It's more important than who your friends are on Facebook. Amen. Who the Savior is and salvation. Amen. Thank God. It's good to be saved.
Amen.
Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5 said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter number 2, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Are you born again? Are you born again? You say, preacher, everybody's here saved. You don't know that. And I ain't trying to talk you out of it if you are. We ain't in the recapping business. We in the rebirthing business. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Beware lest any man spoil you. Beware lest any man spoil you. Now, this world wants to mess your mind up. This world wants to change your thinking about who Jesus is, about what the Word of God is. Don't let anybody, change your mind about what you believe. Let's bow our heads.